as a pastor sometimes does, a pastor knows that sometimes the Spirit comes and says, you know that plan that you had on Sunday or Monday? The plan needs to change. And so the plan that God has isn't necessarily the plan that I had. And so I want to share with you a different scripture today than what I had originally planned. Instead, I want to share with you from Ephesians 4:25 through 5:2. Put away evil and live in love. Then putting away falsehood, let each other of you speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Those who steal must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor, doing good work with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In John 6:35-51, Jesus had this to say to the people. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all but be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, in this place and in this time, there are so many who hunger for you. I myself hunger for you. We pray to hear a word from you today in spite of my voice. So speak through me and in spite of my voice today, Lord, so that we may hear you and live into what your Spirit has for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul was writing to the people of Ephesus. And at that time, life had become very, very complicated. Complicated enough that it was dangerous to call yourself a Christian. It was even getting complicated for those while Jesus was alive to call yourself a Christian. And you could see that the Jewish people were already stirring up a little bit of trouble. They didn't understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. They knew that their ancestors had eaten of the manna in the wilderness, but they sure didn't understand what Jesus was trying to tell them, that he was the bread of life. And they needed to partake of him. They needed to feast on him. There's so many things in this world that are complicated. People fight back and forth and back and forth over things that, in the end, you sit and you wonder, why were you even fighting in the first place? I sit and I watch the news coverage on a daily basis. And it's funny. When I recently just went to England a few weeks ago, so many of the English wanted to know what we Americans are thinking about those who we are choosing among for our next leadership as presidents. What are we thinking? And they're squabbling back and forth, these leaders, whether it be Biden or Harris or Trump. And we realize that these are the leaders or the potential leaders of the free world. And the other countries are watching this. And then I walk into the churches that are in England. And some of the churches are nice, small churches like Wesley Memorial, where we were given a beautiful lunch by the lunch lady, or by the ladies and gentlemen of the church that day, after we had visited the home that John Wesley had grown up in. We were given lovely sandwiches, and they had made beautiful two-layer cakes for our dessert. And it was wonderful. And the rector there, he had served communion. And it was beautiful. And the rector there, by the way, he and his wife were in their 70s. And they're getting ready to retire. He's almost 80. And a woman from the States is getting ready to take over for him. But they are going through hardships too, where they're only worshiping about 40 people a week. Can you imagine? 40 people a week in Wesley Memorial, where Methodism had all started. And they're concerned because they're seeing attendance go by the wayside. And they're seeing crime go up. And they're seeing people squabble with each other. You see, John Wesley saw the same problem. And when in his insight of this problem in the Holy Club, where he and his friends, while in seminary, had started to meet, they started doing something rather radical. They started, along with their studies of scripture and their meditation and their devotions, they started going out and they started taking care of the sick and the widows and the children. Something novel. I think scripture says something about that. Started seeing those who were in prison, feeding the hungry. Something they started making daily practice of doing. In other words, they started being the hands and the feet of Christ. But at that point, the only time that church was supposed to happen, worship was supposed to happen, was supposed to be right at inside the church. Well, a friend who was part of that holy club, George Whitefield, had gone out in Bristol and started preaching in the marketplace. Well, of course, John thought that was just vulgar. His words, vulgar. Vulgar field preaching. But he kept receiving that invitation to come see. Come see this. Thousands of people were stopping in the marketplace to hear the word of God. People who weren't setting foot in a church, but were receiving the word of God in a marketplace. So eventually John does come to Bristol. And he sees these people receiving the word of God. Now, in town squares, there is like a stake, an obelisk, a cross that they put up, saying that this is an okay, it's a sanctioned place by the crown, that they are allowed to have a marketplace there. And it's kind of built up. And so people can stand on top of it. And it's kind of elevated like the chancel is elevated here. And so John got to preach there. Within a week, he's standing in the middle of a field where the coal miners are. And he's preaching there to another couple thousand people. And he's getting up early so he can preach to them before they are in the mines at work. Well, there's a novel thought. But he's meeting them where they are. Guess what Jesus did? He met people where they are. How often did he teach people in the temple as opposed to being out in a field or sitting around the table? Or along the shore. He met people where they were so he could feed them the bread of life. The soteriology, in other words, what gets you to heaven, that Wesley was worried about, what Jesus was worried about, isn't about works or deeds. It's about who you believe in. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you confess that He is your Lord and Savior? So it comes down to this. And I'm going to be very blunt today, because I'm not blunt enough sometimes. Everybody's going to have an eternal life. Everybody's going to have an eternal life. But it's up to you what eternal life you're going to have. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you do, then your eternal life will be with God. If you do not, it will not be with God. That's it. That's all there is to it. And what Jesus was trying to tell these people was that you need to know that He is the bread of life. You need to partake of Him to be able to receive the eternal life you want, the eternal life you need to survive in heaven. Because the eternal life that you receive otherwise is hell. It's that simple. In the letter that was written to the Ephesians, that's where Paul is going. He's telling the people that we need to be able to draw each other in love. And you don't draw people to the church if you're hating on each other. You don't draw people to love in Christ if you're hating and throwing stones and sticks and nasty insults to each other. Who is ever going to want to step foot into a church or be part of the church if you are going to be constantly being nasty or thinking you're better than anybody else? Because I got news for you. I'm no better than you. The only one that's better than me is Jesus Christ. And the only one that's better than you is Jesus Christ. Everybody else, we're all on the same field. Jesus came for me, for you, and for all humanity. And the only way that we get to come for Him is through Him. He is the bread of life. That's the most essential thing I can show you and tell you today. Now, I realize this isn't my normal kind of a sermon. I realize this isn't my normal kind of a flowery piece. And I don't have a real flowery story today. But what I do know is this. Life in this world is this short. And eternity is forever and ever. And in the words of Queen Esther, or actually her cousin, you were created for a time such as this. You weren't created for 200 years ago. You weren't created for 1,000 years ago. You weren't created for 1,000 years from now. You were created for right now. Love the people that you are around right now, starting with your family. Love the people that you are around when you walk out these doors. Love the people that you are around when you go to Walmart later or out to eat later or your server later than you go out to eat. Love the people if you get back on a plane later today or whatever you're going to go do. Show the love of Christ because Christ loved you first. Because Christ loved me first. And I love you too. Let's pray. Lord God, today in this place, there is a lot of love. There's a lot of hugs. There's a lot of family. And better yet, there's a family of God. Your family, Lord. And that's the family I want to be part of the most. That's the family I want to be drawn to and invite others to. That's the family that Jesus was inviting people to. That's the family that Paul was inviting people to. And that's the family that I'm inviting folks to. May we all show your love to others. And may we do it every time we have an opportunity. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who showed love and grace and mercy to us all. Amen.